This morning's scripture lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. If you would like to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's found on page 177 in the back section of the Pew Bible. And I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version this morning. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promise of Holy Spirit. Thus is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of His glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks to you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe, according to the working of His great power. God put this power to work in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above the rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He has put all things under His feet, and has made Him the head over all things for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. This ends the reading of God's holy word for this morning. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of it. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read these and heard these words of encouragement from the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, we pray that we too may receive these words of encouragement and challenge for our days as well, that we may live as faithful people, not in Ephesus, not in the first century, but in the 21st century here in Malden and the surrounding communities. We pray, O God, that we may have the wisdom and the insight from you that may help us in our daily living as being faithful disciples that you have called us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Earlier we sang these words, "For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed." As I mentioned earlier, today is All Saints Sunday, the Sunday on the wider church's calendar when we turn our focus to the saints of the church, those traditionally defined to be great role models for faithful discipleship who now enjoy everlasting life with God. But why do we concentrate on saints in heaven only? If we study the Bible, we see that the emphasis is on the saints who are living right here on earth in the present time, when the scripture was written, when we're reading today. In his letter to the Ephesians, a portion of which we read this morning, the Apostle Paul writes, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints." Whenever Paul speaks of saints, it's with a small s, and he's talking about members of the church, a group of people who have been chosen by God and set apart to do God's work in the world. Saints are holy people, according to Paul, but their holiness does not come from achieving some kind of moral perfection. Instead, they have a holiness that comes from being marked as God's people. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, insists Paul, to be holy and blameless before Him in love. God chose us and set us apart. This is such an important insight into saintliness. We know that God is holy because he is set apart from the world and different from everything that he has created. If we follow that logic, then we discover that we as Christians are holy because God has set us apart from the world and given us a mission that is different from other earthly assignments. To be holy is not necessarily to be better than other people, just different. Paul says that we are saints because we are in Christ Jesus, with a mission to produce a harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. The challenge for us is to live lives now among other saints who are at work in the church and in the world today. One of the keys to the Christian identity is that we are holy people serving a holy Lord. The Apostle Peter writes in his first letter these words: "As he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, for it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" But what does a holy life look like? If I were to ask you that and give you a list and ask you to list five things, I bet you would come up with some things that we think of being holy. Paul gives us a clue in Ephesians, which I'm guessing might not be on our lists, but they might be. Ephesians is a letter that stresses the holiness of God's people. And Paul writes, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers." So this morning I'm going to look at three things that is part of being holy and being living like a saint. So the first sign of a holy life, of saintliness, is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This means trusting that Jesus is the way to God, but at the same time, taking seriously that this way to God is a lifetime journey. While our conversion and baptism may be a one-moment event, our relationship with Jesus Christ, where Christ is the center of our lives, requires a lifetime to develop. I often tell baptismal candidates, especially those who are teenagers or young adults, that this is a very special day in their lives when they commit themselves to Christ and are baptized. But I tell them that you will have a greater understanding and a greater appreciation for what you are doing today if you remain in the faith, future down the road. For as we develop in our faith, we have a greater appreciation for what Christ has done for us. It's a relationship that blossoms and develops over time. It's not something that just get dunked and you're good forever. That's not what Christ calls us to do. Yes, we are to be obedient and to be baptized, but then our commitment to follow Christ the rest of our lives means to be in prayer and relationship with Jesus every day of our lives afterwards. One person has said, "The Christian life is a life of continuing invitation, a life in which Jesus calls us to follow." That's what saints do. Plain and simple, they follow Jesus on the way to God. The second sign of saintliness is showing love toward all the saints. How do we love a saint? Do we take candles to church and light them on holy days? Not in our tradition. We may wonder, don't saints already feel love? Faith and love are the first two qualities that are present in a person who has been chosen by God and set apart to do his work in the world. In the first days of the church, the saints were part of the community of love and concern, one in which love was demonstrated by acts of practical service. One of the first things the early Christians did was to organize a diaconate to make certain that widows and the needy receive some tangible relief. Paul writes to the Roman church, contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Early in the church's life, widows in the early Christian community were commended for showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, and helping the afflicted. Paul spearheaded a financial collection for the church in Jerusalem and described it as a special ministry to the saints. Today, as in the earliest days of the church, love needs to be more than a word. Love needs to be more than an emotion. It needs to be an act of practical service. And the third sign of saintliness is having a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's a quality that we can enjoy right here, right now, immediately. I pray the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul writes to the Ephesian church, the God, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? People who are saints in this life believe that God is always ahead of them, not stuck behind them. And they are constantly seeking to learn what God is revealing to them. We don't have to die and go to heaven before we can have this spirit of wisdom and revelation. We can have it in this world right now. All we need are faith in Jesus, love toward all the saints, and a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Unfortunately, most people think of sainthood as being an honor granted by the Vatican after a long and complex ecclesiastical process. When a person is proposed for Roman Catholic sainthood, and that's a capital S, not a small s, but a capital S sainthood, evidence of that person's virtue must be presented to the hierarchy, along with at least two post-mortem miracles, miracles performed by the intercession of the person after his or her death. Before sainthood is granted to anyone, the Vatican has a trial-like procedure with a lawyer arguing against the canonization of the person. Medical doctors or other professionals must testify that the healings or the deeds are true miracles unrelated to any scientific intervention. One post-mortem miracle is needed for beatification, the first step towards sainthood. And a second is required for canonization. Then and only then will the Roman Catholic Church bestow this designation of saint with a capital S. But maybe this is way too complicated. The saints, the small s saints that the Apostle Paul talks about, are in a different category. Nothing wrong with the hierarchy and the big S saints. There's nothing wrong with those. But I'm wondering if there are other saints to be considered as well. The small S saints, the ones that the Apostle Paul talks about, have found faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've demonstrated love toward others. And they have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Post-mortem miracles are simply not required. For that matter, pre-mortem miracles are not required either. We need only to develop faith, love, and a spirit of wisdom and revelation. May we each work toward and claim our sainthood today as we share in the ministry of Jesus Christ with the other saints who are around us and among us. Let's pray together. Good and gracious God, We thank you for all those who have come before us, leaving a legacy of faith. Thank you for the myriad ways they modeled for us what it means to love you and love one another. We are grateful for the sacrifices they made, the gifts they shared, and the time they gave to so that your gospel could be proclaimed from this place and among these people. Gracious God, the baton has now been passed to us. Grant us wisdom and discernment and revelation, unity of spirit and courage, that we may continue the good work begun by others. We ask this in Christ's name and for the sake of his kingdom. Amen.